Hi, this is Paul Cole. I host Beam Me Up Saturdays 4 to 5, and you're listening to WRFR LP 93.3 FM Rockland or W257BI 99.3 FM Camden. WRFR is local community radio for the Rockland-Camden area, licensed to the Penobscot School and operated entirely by volunteers. Your financial support and the support of our local business sponsors is much appreciated. Our sponsors for this hour are
the Owl's Head Transportation Museum, open 7 days a week. Museum features a working collection of antique cars, planes, motorcycles, and more. The museum also hosts special events throughout the year. Visitors under 18 are free on the web at owlshead.org.
PDQ Photo Rockland reminds you that a hard drive full of memories can crash and take your photos with it. PDQ can safeguard your digital pictures by the simple act of printing them. Located on Main Street in Rockland since 1959, PDQ stands for Prints Done Quickly.
Peaceful Passages. Dr. Robin Elms offers personalized and dignified euthanasia service for all pets in the comfort of their homes and the arms of their beloved caregivers. Cremation is available. Her website is apeacefulpassage.net.
Penn Bay Medical Center, aiming for excellence always. Penn Bay Medical Center's goal is to be the preferred choice for health care in the Mid-Coast. You can find out what aiming for excellence means for your care online at pbmc.org.
And we thank you for listening. If you'd like to learn more about your local radio station, give us a call at 594-0721 or log into our website at wrfr.org.
Hello there, you. It's me. This is the Rockland-Camden Area Community Calendar for Wednesday, February 20th. And here are a few things I thought you might be interested to know are coming up. There's a worm workshop Saturday, February 23rd from 9 a.m. to noon at Mary Spring Nature Center. Jacques Roby of Mainly Worm Bins will teach how to compost waste using earthworms. Pre-registration is required, 236-2239. There's a Thomaston Contra Dance Saturday, February 23rd at 8 p.m. at the Thomaston Academy. Velocipede plays and Richard Green calls. There's no partner needed and beginners are welcome. Watercolor painting is coming up Sundays through May 12th, starting February 24th from 3 to 5 p.m. at the Ashwood Waldorf School. That's on Park Street in Rockport. This is taught by Seth Lester, based on the work of Jonathan Van Gogh, Rudolf Steiner, and Leanne Calotte de Bois. No experience is necessary. Also coming up, the Great Cabin Fever Escape Dance Party, Friday, February 22nd from 7 p.m. to 10:30 p.m. at the Rockport Opera House. This is a dance party to benefit the Seton School featuring disco band Motor Booty Affair. This is for people who are 21 and older. To find out more, 706-6040. There's an Oscar party Sunday, February 24th at 7 p.m. at the Strand Theater. Dress up and walk the red carpet for the awards show presented live in HD. This event is free. Deer, Moose, Ticks, and Hicks is coming up Saturday, March 2nd at 7 p.m. at the Camden Opera House. Justin McKinney, a former sheriff's deputy, shares jokes and stories about living in and patrolling the woods of Maine. Tickets from Saturday, February 9th show will be honored. The tickets are available at the Camden Snow Bowl. And Dervish is in concert Friday, March 8th at 7:30 p.m. at the Strand Theater. The Irish band performs traditional Celtic music. To find out more about this, 594-0070. And find out more information about other things happening right here in this beautiful little place where we call home. You know where to go. It's WRFR.org.
And welcome to Joan Cheech's Radio Hour on WRFR LP in Rockland. Tonight on Joan Cheech, we have a special treat. We have an interview with John Flansburgh from They Might Be Giants. And the interview was actually conducted on February 15th by Kim Slauson. It was a lot of fun. And they sent us actually some new tracks to play from their new album. So I'm going to share some of that music first before we go into the interview, because we discussed some of the music during the interview. So up first is Black Ops by They Might Be Giants.
play for secret cops. Black ops, black ops. Dropping presents from the helicopter. It's been a long year, we've been so far from home. Too many people here, here come the drones. We take the best of it and make a mess of it. Ripping up some lawn and then we're gone. Black sites, black sites. 1,000 miles from day or night. Black sites, black sites. The story will remain unwritten. Before we make you gone, you best be running on. Stick to the music, child, don't get us riled. Hey, there's a spot we missed, I see a communist. And there's another one, and his dumb son. Black ops, black ops. Little vials filled with knockout drops. Black ops, black ops. Maybe leave you in your old gym locker. Disappear. Tom at the landing pad, don't look so sad. We fly to Amsterdam, and in a little bit, we'll sing our special song, and this is it. He'll be standing when the music stops. We're not worrying about the optics.
I think I'd like to call you mom, 'cause you remind me of my mom. I'm gonna go put on my super suit, we'll go out on the town. Why don't you let me call you that? So much like my mom, she didn't like it when I called her name. You and her are the same. When we go out, you know someone is there. You will feel someone staring at you. You're on my mind as I dream of a game where I'm rolling out of an arch. Turn around to find that you were gone, which was exactly like my mom. Bye.
you're just tuning in, you're listening to Joan Cheech's Radio Hour on WRFR LP in Rockland. Tonight on Joan Cheech, I'm going to air a pre-recorded interview with John Flansburg of the They Might Be Giants. And we started off with a couple of songs from their new album, Nanobots. First, you heard Black Ops, which is kind of a darker song, and then Call You Mom. So we actually have one more track from the new album, but I'll save it for next week because the interview is actually long enough. We're dividing it into two shows. So up next is the interview between John and Kim Slauson, who used to be a RFR DJ, and he's a longtime fan of the band. So I hope you enjoy it.
Well, we should probably get started, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
Well. Okay. Actually, I'll start with a favor.
Sure.
I've been trying. I just finally got the idea to do this. Someone pointed out to me I don't have an introduction to my show.
Uh-huh.
And I started asking my guests to introduce the show, and
okay.
then I can reuse their recording for future shows, say,
sure.
you are listening to. So,
what's the name of the show?
Joe and Cheech's Radio Hour. So introduce yourself so they know who you are and why you're important.
Okay. and, right. And, are you recording?
Yep.
Okay. Hey, it's Joe and Cheech's Radio Hour with their special guest, John Flansburg of They Might Be Giants.
And now I'm going to be a pain.
What?
Say it one more time without saying you're a special guest so I can use it on future programs.
Oh, you can edit that. I ain't doing that twice.
Oh, sorry.
That was magic, man. Doesn't get any better than that.
Well, thanks for doing this interview.
Of course.
So you've got a lot going on this year. You've got a new album. You've got the LP and the EP. And is that Nanobots? That's coming out. Is it March 5th?
It's coming out March 5th. Yeah. It's 25 songs on a regular 45 minute length album. So it's kind of a psychedelic experience. There are all these miniature songs on it as well as full-length songs.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a roller coaster.
Well, the last time you did that was Apollo 18, right?
We did something like that on Apollo 18 where we did one song near the end of the album called Fingertips that had 18 super fragmented little pieces of music together kind of in a collage form. In a way, I think the way it works, the shorter songs work on Nanobots, it's actually, it kind of turns the whole album into this enormous montage of sound.
Well, it is kind of weird if you listen to Apollo 18 on shuffle, because you get the little tiny songs interspersed with the regular length songs.
Yeah, that was a sort of an afterthought. I mean, the track, when John was editing together the pieces of the track, it was really, I think, the juxtapositions were really mostly inspired by those late night music compilations. You know, it'd be like, you know, 20 minutes from the 50s, and it'd be, you know, Andy Williams, I love it all, and that, you know, and then it just would butt into another, like the autumn leaves, like, and it would just be these songs that you don't know, kind of colliding into one another in this really jigsaw puzzle kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really an effect that he was going for. But the CD technology was such, it had just emerged as we were making that album, and we thought, well, if we index all these songs on their own, all these, like, little miniatures on their own, it'll really make for a crazy shuffle experience.
Sure.
And shuffle was actually, I think, something that, like, Sony was really pushing. I mean, it's a little bit like Shuffle Play iTunes was. It was the original version of that. But with Nanobots, it's a little bit different because the songs, even the short songs are longer. They're all, some of the short songs are a minute long, so it's not like they're really microscopic.
Right. Hey, how did you come up with the name Nanobots?
Well, there's a song on the album called Nanobots, and to be perfectly honest, we had a really hard time figuring out what to name Join Us. And when we did join us, we kind of chickened out, and we had like 10 names that we were considering, and I think we sent that list out to a couple of people and then whittled it down to like 3 and sent that list out to like 25 friends or something. And people voted, and Join Us was one of them. And people voted on it. But what's interesting is that some of the things that people, I don't even know if Join Us won. I think that Join Us might have actually lost. But some of the comments on the other ones made us realize that it wouldn't be bad for us to try to break out of our preconceived setup. Like, I forget what the title was, but somebody was voting for another title, and they said, you should call it that because that sounds like a They Might Be Giants album. And I think both John and I kind of went like, nope, you know, are we so predictable?
Are you that typecast?
A kind of title that is appropriate for us. So I don't even know if Nanobots is a good or bad title. I mean, one thing about it is it's short, which I think is always nice for when you're in a band called They Might Be Giants. It's already a really ponderous long name, so it's nice when the actual title is short.
Hey, speaking of your signature sound, as it were, Nanobots, it's kind of a little bit different. Like Black Ops is kind of sparse in its production.
Yes, Black Ops is very. I mean, most of the song is just a voice and a percussion figure. It's actually, I think people are anticipating that somebody would say a percussion loop, but it's actually played live. So it's an actual musical performance by our drummer. Mm-hmm. But it's a different kind of production for us. It's very sparse and a creepy song. It's written from the perspective of somebody the kind of soldier who would be a drone operator. So it's kind of about, he's kind of a strange narrator figure because he's very, very cavalier about what he's doing.
Right.
I don't really know what goes through the minds of people who are dropping drones on people or people who are like kidnapping people and taking them to black sites. I would imagine that they feel like, you know, they're, some of them feel like they're doing their patriotic duty, and some of them probably feel like, they're spies. The song is kind of about an amoral person, and it's not. I don't even know how responsible a song it is. Ultimately, it's like kind of because the point of interest in the song, in a way, is about just being inside that creepy mind.
Well, you can read it on the surface as just straight political commentary, you know, or it's also quirky and it's
yeah, I guess so. I mean, I don't know. It's not very funny, that's for sure.
Mm. Right.
So I don't know. The song was kind of an exploration, you know. I think I wrote a lot of it in the car. I had a very long car trip by myself, and the idea kind of came to me, and I started singing it, a cappella. So it's got a very sing-songy quality to it.
Okay, so Nanobots is coming out March 5th. Is that, what venues? Is it CD, iTunes?
It's going to be on vinyl. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be on CD, and it's going to be available as a FLAC file if you are so disposed as to download enormous audio files.
For the lossless audio fans,
yes,
among us?
It's like, you know, fill up your entire drive with the They Might Be Giants album.
You've also got some other stuff going on. You just released a smartphone app.
Yeah, we did. It's only a couple weeks old, and it's really interesting to have something in the world, because, you know, there are things in the world that are so much more popular than music. You know, people love, everybody loves video games, and, you know, everybody loves sports, and everybody loves, you know, like, movies. So it's just, or television. Like, so whenever if you're in a music band and you kind of dip your big toe into some other medium, it reminds you of how much bigger those things are. We've gotten a ton of notice for having an iPhone app, which, you know, I mean, it's just, it's a music streamer, but it's free, and it's very simple, and it's kind of pretty.
Well, and it also kind of harkens back to your history with Daewoosung. I mean, I'm sure that was
intentional.
Yeah, but,
you know, what's interesting is, like, a lot of, you know, that's, if you're familiar with the band already, it totally makes sense. But the truth of it is, a lot of people explore iPhone apps in a very improvisational way. They just kind of, if there's something free, they just download it and check it out.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really kind of ideal for a band like us. I mean, we're always trying to find new audiences and just turn people on to what we're doing who aren't familiar with us.
Well, it's a good sampler, you know, and it's on iOS right now, and you have an Android app coming out soon?
Yeah, there's a fella who sort of volunteered to make an Android app from the code that, you know, sort of just, what do you call it, like migrate over or some version of it.
Right.
The guy who did the original iPhone app also might end up, you know, crashing into the code making of it, but he's not available for a little while. He's all booked up right now. So there's been a real demand for an Android app. Like, I think, obviously, there's a lot of activity in the world of Android phones as well, so we want to do that as soon as we can.
Are there other bands that have apps?
Well, I have a Kraftwerk app. It costs like $19 or something, and it doesn't really work. But it looks
what's it supposed to do?
I don't know. I don't know. Are there? I'm not sure. I don't track apps. You know, I have my finger off the pulse when it comes to apps. I don't really know other bands' apps.
Well, your app loads in, what is it, 5 songs?
It loads in 5 songs, and there's a new song every day, so it sort of shuffles everything over one position, and the oldest song on the app goes away, and a new song comes in every 24 hours.
Yeah, I listened to it today, and it was nice to hear some old songs. I heard Hall of Heads for the first time in a long time.
Yeah, it's a pretty wide-open playlist. Basically, there are new songs on Tuesdays, and we've been debuting a bunch of Nanobot songs on Tuesdays, and then I believe Fridays are always songs from like the 80s or the early 90s. It's Throwback Fridays, which is kind of a radio. And then there's kid songs on Saturdays.
Nice. So in addition to that, you've also got a lot of tour sites booked for the year.
You've got a can you swear on the radio? We've got a ton of touring ahead of us. It's like we've got about 60 shows booked right now. We're going across the United States, and then we are playing. We're going across Australia, and then we're coming back and sort of going across the United States in a different direction. So I think by the end of the year, we'll have pretty much covered the entire United States. We'll get to Florida, and we'll do big shows in New York and LA. And then we're going to, in October, we're going to Europe and playing in England, France, and Germany. So it's a lot of stuff. We'll probably do 100 shows, I'd imagine, by the end of the year.
Is there any particular venue that always sticks out that you are kind of excited to get to when you go on tour?
Well, you know, the thing about being in a touring band like us, you know, we're not really, I think, you know, musicians are always trying to interpret what's happening in their career. Like, they're always trying to sort of understand what caused what to happen. And I can tell you, like, you know, there are a lot of things that are still very mysterious to me about you know, why some things are successful and some things are less successful in terms of our output or things that I observe, because, you know, I know people who are great, you know, fantastic artistic musicians who don't have any kind of commercial success or they can't break through, or I know people who've gotten really big who are just kind of, you know, horrible fakes, and, you know, so there are all these paradoxical things. But one thing I've noticed just from, you know, being on the road on and off for the last 25 years, is if you do a really good show somewhere, like a, if you do like your best work, like your, you know, not every night is a great show, but like I think every tour there's probably, you know, four or five shows that we do that are really stand out. Like everybody's in top form, like the band's really rehearsed and everybody's feeling good about being on stage and things are funny and sparky and the shows just kind of have a life of their own and it's a kind of a magical celebratory evening. If we get a chance to do a show like that somewhere, the next time we come back to that town, there are all these people. It creates kind of a feedback loop where people are really excited because they already feel like they know it's going to be good. And what happens is these various cities just get like better and better and better. Like we've done a million really good shows in Austin, Texas. We've done a million really good shows in Portland, Oregon, or in St. Louis, or New Orleans, or you know, it's just like there are these towns, and sometimes it's because they're like music towns, you know, like yeah. New Orleans, and I mean, I guess all those towns are really music towns in their own way, but it just happens that it kind of feeds on itself, and it's a very interesting thing to observe. I remember, you know, for a while we really actually had a very good thing going in Nashville, which is not. I mean, even though Nashville is a big country music place, it's sort of historically famous for being not that fun a place to go on tour if you're in a rock band. And we had built up like a lot of goodwill in Nashville, and then we were actually going flying there to do a show. It's already sold out. Everything was like super cool, and. We actually had all our equipment stolen. Somebody stole our truck.
Oh my god!
And so we had to cancel the show. And the thing then, and we I think 6 months or 9 months later, we did a makeup show, and people's tickets were refunded and everything. Everything was like legitimate. But then when we did the makeup show, we didn't even sell 2/3 of the tickets we had sold previously. Like we took a major step back. Because once you cancel a show, nobody wants to repeat that experience, you know. Mm. And it made me realize how sort of fragile it was. Because you know, we had built up a thing where we were playing for 1,000 people in Nashville, and then all of a sudden it was like we were like back in the club, you know. We were back. It was like we were playing for 400 people, and it, and I think it's because when something like that happens, even though people are sympathetic, like they feel like, oh, you know, they're a good band, but I don't really need to. Go to shows that are going to get canceled.
Well, you bring up a good point because some bands, you know, they stay in their comfort zone and they play in the same town, you know, week after week after week after week because they know where their fans are and they're afraid to take that leap. And you don't do that. I mean, do you looking back to before you were household names and before you were successful, you know, when you were just starting out. It's kind of the ultimate in self-reliance to start your own band. What's life like now, and how's it different from back then?
You know, John and I were very ambitious about what we were doing on kind of a personal creative level. I mean, not to sound like too self-prepossessed, but, we had both been in bands that were, you know, I had been in college bands that had played at clubs that, it wasn't like I mean they were strange lopsided bands, but they were the bands that I was in before them at the Giants were kind of dance oriented bands. Like we would play at college dances, so like there was this kind of tyranny of it, what we were doing being kind of danceable, which is its own other a whole other kind of thing. And John was in this sort of new wave band, and they were very professionally ambitious. I mean, they really wanted to crack the code on you get signed and do all that stuff. So when we came to They Might Be Giants, I think we were kind of thinking, you know, let's just do something that's fun for us. You know, let's just do a band that's, you know, maybe we won't really get that far, but at least it'll be interesting. And it was very, you know, the first couple of years we did the band, we weren't really thinking like this is going to be a professional career. It just seemed like this is an interesting personal thing. And but it was really fun, and I think to our great surprise, we found an audience beyond our friends, and that felt the most sparky to us. It was like all of a sudden there were actually people we didn't know coming to our shows because they'd heard we were just worth seeing. And that was really validating, you know. I think it's hard to get that far just off, you know, just from doing a show. But I can't imagine what it would be like to if I saw our show now, I don't know. I don't even know what I'd make of it, to be perfectly honest. I mean, it was just, we were a duo, we played with a drum machine. It was very, very manic. And it was very 80s in a way.
Yeah, watching some of the old videos on YouTube, you know, it's definitely quite a different feel than the work that you put out now. And you've got quite the span of different genres. I mean, you started out in the, I don't know if you want to call it alternative or college rock scene, and then, you know, you morphed kind of into doing some more children's oriented work as of late, and you've also had some success doing commercial projects, you know, which not...
We've done a lot of TV themes, and those have been, I mean, it's been our good luck that, like, we've been associated with shows that have taken off. I mean, we did the Daily Show theme and Malcolm in the Middle, and we've, for people who have kids, they would actually, they might not even realize that we did the Mickey Mouse Clubhouse theme, but that is... in a continuous rotation on the Disney Channel.
Well, new as in like the 1980s version?
No, we did the one that's in the aughts. It's on every day. It's on right now.
Okay.
But I mean, our main focus still is rock music, you know, just for ourselves. Like, the kids stuff is always turned into a very pleasant kind of parallel career, and it's a great, you know, it's great writing kids stuff because it's a really interesting challenge. But I have to say, like, as a performer, I find playing for kids to be kind of, it's too hard.
They're a tough audience, you know.
They're a really tough audience.
I've got four of them. They're hard to please.
Yeah, they're so easily bored, and you know, it's just like, you know, you get attention, then you just find it slipping away. It's like, you know, playing for kids is like, you know, making sandcastles as the tide's coming in. You know, like, you know, you can build up some goodwill and then, like, just watch it just float away. But whereas, you know, playing for drunks, that's always fun. But, you know, the thing is, honestly, you know, the drunks will do pay attention, and they actually clap at the end. That's all we ask.
Sometimes they get up on stage.
Excuse me?
Sometimes they get up on stage.
The drunks do get up on stage. But, you know, sometimes the kids get up on stage, too.
Well, that's true.
There's a Venn diagram to be made of the overlap between performing for kids and performing for drunks.
Speaking of roles, who writes the songs and who does the songwriting? Is it you or is it the other John?
Both John and I are songwriters, and we collaborate on songs. And, you know, we have a sort of an open-ended collaboration. We kind of function as like the other's first audience in a lot of ways. And, you know, most of the time everything's, you know, the stuff clicks and it makes sense. And then other times, you know, like, we kind of jump in and help sort out whatever might not be working. So we kind of, you know, it's like, you know, when needed, we sort of function as the other's editor, I guess. And then there's lots of things where we collaborate. So, you know, like, we have sat down in rooms together and written songs. And we've also done things, we've done unusual kind of handoffs where one of us will put together like a rhythm track or a chord progression and then just give it to the other one to work on. And those are interesting you know, sort of collabos.
Well, that's an interesting way to sort of beat the writer's block. And, you know, if one of you runs out of ideas, then the other one can pick up.
Yeah, I think we're trying very hard to make people not realize that we've run out of ideas.
Ideas are endless.
I was wondering, what's the relationship with your label like?
Everything we're doing is manufactured and distributed by this company called Megaforce, who are they're an indie company that started with Anthrax, and it's an interesting. I remember actually meeting Anthrax years and years ago. We were doing some festival, and I'm not sure. Like this whole summer festival moment. We were just in the same lobby as Anthrax guys in some hotel, and I had a little conversation with one of the guys in the band, and the truth of the matter is, like, if you're touring and just if that's your life. No matter what kind of music you do, there's sort of a common, you know, you're dealing with a lot of the same stuff. And they were just, you know, just affable guys. And I think the truth of the matter is, like, doing indie music, the challenges are the same no matter what genre it is. It's all kind of DIY. It's all very, it's very scrappy. And, it's good to... Keep your expectations low and be happily surprised when good things happen.
That was part one of our interview with John Flansburgh from They Might Be Giants. The next half was a little too long to fit into this hour, so we're going to play it next week along with another track from their new album, Nanobots. So I'm going to round out the hour with some classics selected by Kim Slauson. And I am taking requests. If there's a favorite They Might Be Giants song you'd like to hear tonight, call the studio 593-0013, and I'll see about getting it on the queue. So up next, we have Birdhouse in Your Soul.
Vigilantly, my name is Blue Canary, one note spelled L-I-T-E. My story's infinite, like the Longines Symphony, it doesn't rest. Blue Canary in the alley by the light switch, who watches over you? Make a little birdhouse in your soul, not to put too fine a pine on it. Say I'm the only bee in your bonnet. Make a little birdhouse in your soul. Find a bond on it. Say I'm the only bee in your bonnet. Make a little bird.
like to take a quick moment to thank some of the sponsors of Joe and Cheech's Radio Hour and WRFR. Those include T Printers and Publishers, also Philbrook and Associates, and Jesse Seafood Market. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Joe and Cheech's Radio Hour and our special edition with our interview with They Might Be Giants. We'll be continuing the interview next week for the second half. And so for now, we're playing some more music by the band. And I think even if you have never heard of They Might Be Giants, I'm pretty sure you've heard this song before.
Liked it better that way.
So, take me back to Constantinople.
No, you can't go back to Constantinople. Been a long time gone. Constantinople, why did Constantinople get the works? That's nobody's business but the Turks. Istanbul.
Istanbul.
Even old New York was once New Amsterdam. Why they changed it, I can't say. You just liked it better that way. Istanbul was Constantinople, now it's Istanbul. The Constantinople been a long time gone. The Constantinople, why did Constantinople get the works? That's nobody's business but the Turks. No, you can't go back to Constantinople. Been a long time gone. Constantinople, why did Constantinople get the works? That's nobody's business but the Turks. Istanbul.
Particle man, doing the things a particle can. What's he like? It's not important. Particle man. Is he a dot or is he a speck? When he's underwater, does he get wet? Or does the water get him instead? Nobody knows. Particle man. Triangle man, triangle man. Triangle man hates particle man. They have a fight, triangle wins. Triangle man. Of the entire universe, man. Usually kind to smaller man. Universe man. He's got a watch with a minute hand. Millennium hand, energy on hand. And when they meet, it's a happy land. Powerful man. Universe man. Person man. Person man. Hit on the head with a frying pan. Lives his life in a garbage can. Person man. Is he depressed or is he a man? Does he feel totally worthless? Who came up with person man? Degraded man, person man. Triangle man, triangle man. Triangle man hates person man. They have a fight, triangle wins. Triangle man.
I saw the best minds of my generation destroyed by madness, starving, hysterical. I should be allowed to glue my poster. I should be allowed to think. I should be allowed to glue my poster. I should be allowed to think. I should be allowed to think. I should be allowed to think.
Getting into the last few minutes of Joe and Cheech. Thank you for listening tonight. Tune in next week. We'll play the next second half of our interview with John from They Might Be Giants. And stay tuned, because after tonight's show is Kit, and she'll be playing Medium Rare. So we'll end the evening with a little more music from They Might Be Giants, and we'll continue next week with the rest of the interview.
I can see your secrets, no need to confess. Everyone looks naked when you know the world's a dress.
The world's a dress, a place that's worn, a sad mug that reflects a sad mess. I'll repeat it for those who may not have already guessed. The world's a dress.
Life's parade of fashion just leaves me.
A sad fun that reflects
the top. Cause my alarm clock always wakes me right up. And since my options have been whittled away, I struck a bargain with my radio DJ. I said I'd like this song to be number one. He said I'd really, really like to help you, my son. And then I knew that I would have him to thank, because he asked me how much I had in the bank. He said to think long-term investment, and that all the others have forgiven themselves. He said the net reward would justify the colossal mess they made of their lives. He said the record wouldn't have to be hot, and no one ever seemed to care if it's not. It would depend on something else that I got, and that the other ones are giving it a shot. I'd seen a modest, some girl geometrically, and then they had forgiven themselves. Because the net reward had justified the colossal mess they made of their lives. Hey, Mr. DJ, I thought you said we had a deal. I thought you said you scratch my back and I'll scratch your record. And I thought you said we had a deal. Dress. I wonder when they're gonna clean up the mess. You know the rabbit child is still tuning in. Chespie's face is patient, must be wearing thin. Because they haven't played this song on the air. Not that anyone but me would care. And the disc jockey has moved out of town. The district caller says he'd know where to be found. He said to think long-term investment, and that all the others have forgiven themselves. He said the net reward would justify the last time I said matter the last. Hey, Mr. DJ, I thought you said we had a deal. I thought you said you scratch my back and I'll scratch your record. And I thought you said we had a deal.
The sun is down, the curtains have been drawn, and darkness has descended over everything in town. The covers have been turned and I've got my pajamas on. I've had my fun, I've stretched and yawned, and all is said and done. I'm going to bed. Bed, 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 things today, there's nothing left to do. I ate three meals, I rode my bike, I hung out with my friends. I did my chores, I watched TV, I practiced the guitar. I brushed my teeth, I read my book, and then I sat around. I'm going to bed. Bed, 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 bed. Staying up for even than 20 seconds more. When everything has happened and there's nothing else in store, the thing is now to lay my head down, close my eyes and snore. And so to bed directly I go. The covers have been turned and I've got my pajamas on. I've had my fun, I've stretched and